Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny.
Mention It All. A Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Good Monday morning.
Good day. I said good day.
I said. Did this weekend feel like extremely short to you?
They always do.
They always do.
It's like, it's not right. But like the weekend feels short, but don't the days sometimes feel like a little long? I feel like I just said like a mother quote. Like, it's like the days are long, but the years are short.
Like, you felt like Sunday was a long day, but then like I felt it like still shouldn't be long. Monday yet.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. I don't know if I feel that. I feel it all just feels too quick for me, except for the Monday through Friday.
Yeah, right. But I do have to say the weather this weekend was gorgeous. We did
have some lovely weather.
At fall, like, I can feel it. Like, that 70 degree, like, it's getting down. Like, it's not, I went like exercise yesterday and I was wearing bike shorts and a sweatshirt, so I wasn't like sweating.
Yeah. I was like inside for most of the day yesterday, but I did wear a long sleeve shirt and was like very comfortable, which is just, it's the way things are meant to be. So we got some interesting news since the last time we recorded that the Real Housewives of New York City will not have a season 13 reunion. It was like a weird, This news was weirdly delayed because it's like they were supposed to film the reunion back in August and then they pushed it. And then they scheduled a date, like it was supposed to be filmed this week. And then they had postponed it again. And then later that same day that they postponed it, they finally canceled it. And Bravo put out a statement that, you know, there's like scheduling conflicts. And it's like, I don't know exactly what happened, but I don't understand why it was so messy. It's like, filming the reunion is part of the job of like doing a season of Housewives. And so it's like, what if I just was like, oh, Barry, I can't record the Salt Lake City recap today. Let's push it to tomorrow. And then tomorrow I was like an hour late to the Zoom. And then finally I was like, actually, I just am not going to do it.
Right. Like, you could have said no originally. Thanks for breaking that down.
Like, actually, for religious reasons, I can't recap Salt Lake City this week.
I believe that you and I, like, a while, when the rumor like first happened, like weeks ago, it was to the point where we're like, we don't even care anymore. But at the same time, it's like, are these women not being held accountable for their behavior and the things that they did throughout this season? And now they're not going to come face to face with it. But that's the issue. But
I think that's a super valid concern. And I think a lot of people for that reason are upset that Bravo is not making a reunion happen. But I think one thing that has been in my mind is that, like, as much as I want Ramona to be held accountable for, you know, some of the ridiculous things she's said and done, I also don't think that a Housewives reunion would necessarily accomplish that. Like, I mm-hmm. don't think, you know, Andy as a host is not necessarily equipped to handle all of that. And I don't think...
Who is equipped to handle Ramona?
Well, it's like, I just don't... I think Bravo has shown us with some recent reunions in the past that, like, they don't actually always do a great job with handling that kind of stuff. So, right. like, I get the desire to hold Ramona accountable, but I also think it's, like, it's not, like... having a reunion is not a guarantee that she would be held accountable. So I'm honestly kind of just ready to not think about New York for a little while. Like, I think it'll be a nice break. I hope they, you know, take a little time to really figure things out. And I think there are a lot of interesting, you know, cards on the table because Ramona and Luann still have to make it through Girls Trip. We haven't seen that yet. And then Dorinda and Jill right now are filming for the other All-Stars show in the Berkshires. So, like, everybody could be in consideration. Like, we don't know what they're thinking for next season. And, like, having Dorinda and Jill back doing a show for them, does that mean that they're, like, up for consideration? You never know.
Right, like almost filming, like, a pilot to, like, see what works, what doesn't work. And I also really am not a fan of the, like, All Stars. It reminds me of like the Challenge on MTV, but like I feel like the Housewives are doing like obstacle courses and that's not like what it is.
I don't think that's what it is.
Although that would be really enjoyable to watch.
I will say I'm more excited for this one that they're doing in the Berkshires right now, just because I think the cast is like so much more random and like there are a lot of people I'm interested to see interact with each other. Like Girls Trip, obviously, like, I'm excited to watch it. I hope it's fun. But, like, I don't really think, like, Kyle Richards and Cynthia are going to be, you know, bringing us that much drama or anything. Whereas I feel like having, like, Vicky and Dorinda and Brandi Glanville in a house for a week, like, that 100%. Sounds like television.
Exactly. You, like, I feel like it's, I'm not, I don't know. I don't want to be, like, cool, I'm watching these middle-aged women on vacation just having fun. Like, okay.
That's literally great. The foundation of our podcast.
I know, but like there's some drama. This was only a few days, like, you know, like 2 weeks worth. There can't be that much. These women are just getting to know each other. So it's not like, it's like they put them in a bag, shook them up, and they're like, let's see what happens. But like nothing happened. I don't know. I'm speaking too soon. We didn't even see it yet. So
we'll see. We'll see. It's weird to me that they haven't set a premiere date for that yet. After they like unveiled the cast photo, I'm like, just tell us when it's happening.
Yeah, like you can't fool us anymore. The internet can't be fooled.
And more than anything, like for our podcast planning purposes, yeah. What day of the week is it going to come out? Like, we need to know these things. speaking of podcast scheduling, this week, again, we're doing Salt Lake City today, Potomac and Below Deck tomorrow. And then next week on Tuesday, Vanderpump Rules premieres. So we'll be back to like normal, you know.
Yeah, we're kind Monday, of just filling whatever. It in and seeing what works best for you guys as the listeners.
The Vanderpump
we've landed
Rules,
on this.
The Vanderpump Rules premiere. I've seen it. It's fun. I'm excited to recap this season. I think it's going to be spicy.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com. honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's get into Salt Lake City. I feel like the theme of this week's episode was basically like Jen Shah has not changed because we have, I mean, not that it's shocking, but I think because of the whole legal scenario, I feel like it was easy to kind of forget how like intense Jen was last season and how it just, even in her friendship dynamics, she can just be like a fucking nightmare.
And I think this episode, did not forget.
I know you didn't forget. I just think it's like easy to think of her as like Jen Shah, the con woman, allegedly, and not like Jen Shah, the woman who like yelled at Heather. Yeah. And this episode, both in her scene with Lisa and her scene with Heather, it's like, oh, right. Like, this is how Jen Shah acts in her friendships.
Totally. Like, she, on like a snap of a finger, starts crying and plays the victim. And in no way, shape, or form is that the case in either friendship of hers. But I thought the funniest part of this episode was, again, where I would enjoy starting each of these episodes in Jen's closet, because it just gives us way more like insight to what she has and everything. And she is just saying, like, she's calling Heather and she just wants to be a better person. But I thought it was so funny where she's sitting in all of her new shoes and amount of new stuff.
Is that Jen's attorney? Is that Jen's attorney texting you?
Yeah, they heard, like, they were like, they're like,
excuse me,
out.
Allegedly.
Like, say the word allegedly.
We got the return of Stew Chains this week. I wasn't sure, you know, if we were going to see him around much this season. You would think maybe if they had any inkling that the feds were sniffing around, they would have, like, you know, separated themselves. But clearly, no, he's in the closet. He's, like, escorting her into the snow palace later in the episode. He is still
very, you know, much involved,
a loyal servant, if you will.
Oh my god, I just, like, I'm sorry, cannot get over this like, and she just like stands there in her Gucci tracksuit and she's like, see, I don't want them making comments, like, that's what we don't need. I don't know if you caught on to that. I was like, huh, does that mean something?
That's what we, like, don't need, like,
yes,
as a,
yes,
an entity. Yes. I don't know. But so Heather has had a tough time with Jen. Heather tells us that she hasn't spoken to Jen in 2 months. And Jen, you know, wants to mend the fences, build a bridge. And so she calls Heather and is basically like, hey girl, like, I think we should be friends again. Like, let's talk. And Heather's like, I mean, I'm down, but like, you know, are we gonna
need a little more?
Right. Like, it's so funny to me that Jen is one of those people who she thinks just because she has said, I'm sorry to you at some point for something, that she like is just in the clear. And we see that also with Meredith. Lisa and Jenny come over to Jen's house a little later. And, you know, Lisa kind of relays the message from Meredith that she's really hurt and she's going to need an apology from Jen. And I don't even think Jen realizes that this is now about the Brooke stuff. She's like, I said sorry that I talked shit about her husband. What more does she want from me? And Lisa's like, oh, no. Like, I think now she's really upset about the stuff with, like, her family and her kids. And it's, and, you know, she says that Brooks was derogatory about her vagina, which is just a reach.
No, not, simply not true. But also the fact that that was Jen's first time meeting Jenny. And
oh my God,
I'm so glad that that was the outcome, because now Jenny's like, oh my God. But like, Also, Lisa brought bringing over like multiple like sewing machines so they could wear matching pants to lunch. Like so that weird. Just was so out of left field. And like, I feel like not like Lisa, like it was just weird. I feel like they were like, hey, we need to film a scene in Jen's house and you need to break the news to her that she needs to apologize. So like, I don't know, maybe bring like an activity to do. That's Lisa what it
doesn't,
felt like.
Lisa doesn't strike me as like a DIY queen, but you know.
Wear matching pants. They were going to sew matching pants to wear to lunch. Like, I'm sorry, what?
I feel like sewing pants is hard. You have to have like a pattern and everything.
Start with a pillow. Call Craig. Like, you got to learn how to do this.
But I did love, I thought you were right about Jenny in this scene. Like, it almost felt like she was like a first. Like it was the first day of like an internship and she's like shadowing the doctor or something. And so she's just like sitting back on the couch while like Jen's having a fucking meltdown. And it's like, yeah, like Jenny's in like a funny spot. Cause I feel like she, obviously it's only her second episode. Like she hasn't really like worked herself into the group dynamic yet. So it's just kind of like, okay, this is actually a good observation day for you.
Right. And I'm sorry. No, it's very early in the season and I don't typically make decisions like this so okay. soon, but I would like Jenny and her family to have their own show.
Oh, you like Dewey?
And her kids are hilarious.
Her kids
and
are
all
cute.
Have like big personalities. I just think it's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm very early in the manifestation like stages, so I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay,
but I'm
well,
just saying.
Andy Cohen, if you're listening, get Jenny a spinoff. Apparently,
They have. Hey, Bravo hasn't done one of those in a really long time.
Oh, Portia's getting one though, so we gotta.
That'll be fun.
Get ready for that. I do feel like I'm not loving the Dewey wanting another kid and like pestering Jenny about it. Like that is a storyline on Bravo that I'm always just a little bit like. But I believe that that's like an authentic journey for them. So whatever.
Right. I also, something minimal that bothered me was that the pan she was making the ravioli in was not big enough. It just, there was no
those like striped ravioli. Yeah.
It wasn't big enough. That's why she was like, but anyway, moving on.
Jenny's family, 10 out of 10. Jenny's cooking technique. It's like a 5. We got to step it up.
Okay, we also have to shout out our top 5 house husband, Seth, because he has really moved up in the ranks, especially when he walked into that room wearing Meredith's iconic Cher bedazzled face mask. Side note, he moved to Mississippi.
Yeah, I don't know like the ins and outs of what his job
I think it's for,
is.
Yeah, it's for work.
I mean, it's definitely still. For work. He's not just like chilling in Mississippi, but like, it's always, you know, that's a tough thing when you have one of those jobs where you're just kind of like bopping around. Every few months or once a year. Yeah. Like, I think, you know, I always felt like Meredith was justified not wanting to move to Ohio. But now, especially, it's like, yeah, good thing you didn't move to fucking Ohio. Like, first of all, you wouldn't be on this show anymore. And second of all, you'd be stuck in Mississippi. Like, it wouldn't work.
But she's also like relaying that message. Like we see it from both sides. Like she's filling Seth in more about like the tweets. And she said like liking it or retweeting it is just as bad as saying it. Also, Jen, I could say this 100 times, just shouldn't be engaging in her castmate's child.
I mean,
she's in the wrong.
Totally. And I think it's like, you know, I think Jen has, you know, clearly we see she does this with both Brooks and with Heather, that she sees everything in this like tit for tat, like I got you, so, or like you got me, so I'm gonna get you. But in both of those situations, it's like, I don't think the other person actually did the thing that you're like imagining that they did. Like, I don't, you know, maybe Heather has not always said 100% kind things about Jen, but I don't think she's, you know, on Instagram calling her a walrus. Like it's not, there are like levels of things. And it's like, if you want to say in an interview that you and Heather aren't getting along or that you think Heather is, you know, not the best friend, that's one thing. But like calling someone names on social media is like a different level. And it's like, if it's somebody that you profess to want to be, to have a good relationship with, like you have to cut it out.
Yeah. It's just really hard because we saw Heather do this last season. And so now we see Heather and Whitney go shopping, which, oh my God, that store looked phenomenal. And Heather is filling in Whitney about this situation. And Whitney is very much like me. We're like, what are you doing? You need to like, be careful. You need to like, kind of steer clear or just like,
yeah.
She's like telling her to walk on eggshells without telling her to walk on eggshells. But Whitney's face in that scene multiple times, it was giving me very much Dorit vibes. Like everything Heather Whitney was just like looking at her because
what?
Yes. She kept like her head was like nodding. She was like just looking at her like blankly, but she's not a fan of Jen. So she's like told Heather, she's like, Heather, I've picked you up off the floor. Like, you know, like I've been there for you. I've seen what this girl can do. Just like, be careful. But Heather's, I don't know. What do you think? Heather's a good friend.
Well, I was really glad to see Whitney speak up in that scene because I think, you know, some people are scared of Jen. You know, this was kind of a storyline last season, who might be mm-hmm. scared of Jen. And I think Whitney was kind of on that list. And I think her saying this stuff to Heather is a step in the right direction of not letting Jen kind of bulldoze the whole group dynamic this season. And I do think, you know, I think when Heather goes to meet with Jen, I think she is maybe a little too optimistic, but at the same time, I think she is aware of, you know, the dangers of Jen. And I think she does a pretty good job of holding her ground. Like, first of all, I mean, the setting that they meet in is like, where are we? What is this? Is this, it looks like, you know, in Frozen when Elsa like builds the ice palace during Let It Go, it looks like if that was like in ruins.
It looked not that safe. Like,
right. Like Jen,
a little concerning.
Jen is having to be like escorted up this like ice ramp.
But they couldn't have met at like, a coffee shop or,
you know,
anywhere else, but this is cool.
I love some ambiance. You know, I thought it was, Jen was dressed extremely appropriately in her like full Cruella de Vil glam with like the like down to the like spotted fur. You know, Jen, like, say what you will about her, but she knows how to play her character so well.
Well, including
every villain look that she is serving for us. And I, for one, I have to, you know, tip my cap to her because it's nobody else is doing it like Jen Shah.
But that's the thing. Like, she actually plays a character as opposed to other women being on these shows, like being authentic and being themselves. She's like, actually, that you post that last night, like she's like dressed as a villain, like with her hat was a little sideways and it looked like her little, her legs were crossed. Like she looked straight out of a movie, but.
Right. Like Whitney is like, all Whitney wants is like to have a $1 billion brand and for her husband to be horny for her. Meanwhile, Jen's like, Heather, meet me at 2 p.m. in the ice terrace. I'll be wearing my most villainous looking fur and
Whitney,
be prepared. It's like Tyra Mail, be prepared to die.
Whitney, reenacting the sex scenes is like, we need more of that. Like that was, it was a lot.
Last episode in the premiere, she did the like oral sex, the blowjob thing in the confessional. I'm like, did they just have like 5 minutes of you in the confessional doing like every sex position?
Yeah. And this last night was a lot, but you know what? Like it was in character, but I'm hopeful that Whitney's brand can grow billions of reach.
Yeah.
We can do it. The ice castle, whatever you want to call it, really set the tone for this meeting because it was
frigid.
It was frigid. We actually, small plug, we have a new beanie on Shop Batches. It says frigid bitch. Yeah. Awesome.
I'll DM Jen and ask for her address.
yeah, maybe.
Jen Shaw rocking the frigid bitch beanie.
Yeah, that'll be great.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Did you know that women make up 56% of law students?
It's clear that the future of the legal field is female. So why are so many legal podcasts and reviews authored by men? Hi, I'm Leah Littman.
I'm Kate Shaw.
And with Melissa Murray, we are the hosts of Strict Scrutiny.
Each week, we break down the latest headlines and biggest legal questions facing our country to give you expert views you won't hear anywhere else.
Strict Scrutiny is your guide to the Supreme Court.
New episodes drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe to Strict Scrutiny wherever you get your podcasts.
Moving on. So I want to know what you think about, so Heather shows Jen a screenshot of some DMs with the blue check, which means it's from her. And I believe these are the DMs where she compares Jen or Heather to Honey Boo Boo, which I would not say is meant as a compliment. You know, just my guess. And Jen says that the messages are fake. And she says that she never said that. And basically she flips it around on Heather of like, how can I be your friend if you don't trust me when I tell you that these messages that people are sending you are fake? How can I be friends with you if you don't believe me? And I'm not buying it. I'll just
These are not spoof messages. These are very much real.
Okay. So there's the spoof texts. But the thing is, with the spoof texts, even Mike, this is Shaws of Sunset, if you don't watch, even Mike had to admit that some of the texts were real. It was like the volume of them where he said were spoof texts, but like he sexted with other women. Like
here's the thing. Heather screenshotted the message from Jen. So it wasn't like someone posted it on Instagram and Heather was like, oh my God, what is this? And screenshot it. Like it's her phone, her DMs, her messages. Like,
oh, I thought it was DMs that Jen sent to someone else talking shit about Heather. And then they sent Heather a screenshot.
Someone sent them to Heather.
I think so. Cause I don't think Jen would lie about a message that she literally sent to Heather.
Well, you never know. But I mean, regardless, she whoever sent these to Heather is like, I'm assuming a reliable source. And the issue is it doesn't come, like, it's not out of character for Jen to do this because we've seen her talk shit about people on social media. So it's not a random thing that she did. And also, pattern. We've seen her not take responsibility for other things she's done. So just like completely adding up. And even Heather was like, hold on, you're turning this around on me. In what world? Like, this is not why we're here. I'm confronting you. You asked me to meet. I'm telling you what you did wrong. Own it.
Right. So first of all, it's hilarious for Jen to act like this is like so out of character for her to send a nasty DM. And it's like, that's all you do. But also I really, really loved that Heather put her foot down and was like, if you're asking me to believe that these messages are fake, I can't do that. I don't believe that. I don't think you're telling me the truth. And, you know, I think it was important for Heather to really, you know, speak up in that moment. And we saw her in the premiere say that she gets drunk on Jen's friendship juice. And, you know, whatever you think about that, obviously Mary Cosby didn't buy it, but like, in this moment, Heather really is doing her best to not let that get the best of her. And, you know, this whole time, Jen is still like, Heather, like, you're my girl. Like, we're good. Like, you're my girl. And it's like, that doesn't mean anything if you don't put actions behind it.
And actually, what does that mean?
Right. And so I like that we finished this conversation in a place where it was like, okay, we still want to move forward with a friendship, but it has to be different or else that can't happen. Like, I feel like before Heather was just kind of like, oh, but I love Jen. And now I think she actually is putting up a little more boundaries.
Right. And she's going to take like baby steps. I mean, we already see in next episode that she flips out again. So it's
seeing, I am extremely excited for
the hat,
Jen. I'm extremely excited for Jen and Meredith to come face to face, because I think, you know, Heather, I think, is a little more sympathetic to Jen. I think she wants to be friends with her again a little more. And Lisa, you know, is friends with Jen. And I think Meredith is not going to be having it. I think it, the idea of the place Meredith is in right now, if she sits down with Jen and Jen is giving crocodile tears and, you know, like, Brooke said bad things about me too. Or like, we see her in the preview being like, oh, like, I don't even run my own Twitter. And like that whole thing, like, Meredith is not going to be here for that. And I am excited to see kind of how that plays out.
Well, speaking of Meredith, if anyone watched Watch What Happens Live night or has gone on the internet this morning.
Oh yeah, I posted the clip.
Yes, Andy asks, well, let her know that like a main question everyone wants to know is if she's called the feds. And Meredith so like calmly was like, Andy, haven't you heard me say, don't mess with my family? And like, and the whole audience went like silent. Everyone
with
was like,
with my family?
Family. Family.
You don't talk about my family. Family. That was an amazing moment. Okay, real quick, before we finish up, we skated right over it, and I cannot allow this to happen. Ms. Mary Cosby's decor situation. It is stressing me out to the max, looking at her home and getting more of a detailed look at her home. The rainbow striped dining room chairs, but only two of them, and then paired with black and white, like high no. back chairs.
No.
Her son's room with the Gucci comforter, and then like a Louis Vuitton blanket.
Outdoor swings in his room.
A giant like red refrigerator.
A Smeg fridge. Yes, a
giant Smeg fridge. Which, first of all, those are really expensive. Second of all, why do you need a full size one in your bedroom? I like this house. The like green shit everywhere. I understand. She says that they haven't like fully redone the house in 20 years, but she has bought a lot of tragic stuff in the time since then, clearly.
Her house reminds me, each room reminds me of like different things. It reminds me of just like a 90s sitcom house. Like the son's room reminds me of like a teenager, which he is, just like hanging out in his room all day and not wanting to go like see his parents' friends if they're over. Like, and he can do right. He's like mischievous in his room. And the swings are really like,
Everything he has in his room is something that I would have asked my mom for when I was 14. And she would have been like, no.
Like when the catalogs came in the mail, like to any store, I would always flip through it and be like, I want this, this, this. And in reality, it's like so unrealistic. You just thought it was cool because it's in the catalog, but like it's not for your house. Like, yeah, no.
I don't have the room from the Pottery Barn teen catalog. Like that's not actually my life.
I can't tell if she's in the mid, like, I didn't see any steps moving forward with the renovation. Like, did she make any decisions last night? Was she just walking around for everyone to see, like, what?
And complaining about this guy who she's related to, who's the contractor.
There's a lot of green.
I mean, she might make some updates, but let me tell you, that house is never going to be tasteful.
I mean, I also don't think it's going to be updated if you ask me, but I think she likes it the way it is.
No, she doesn't though. She's saying she doesn't. I feel like she'll just buy more stuff. Like, I don't think she's going to actually like redecorate.
That's my, like, she's buying more stuff almost to cover it, but it's making it worse as opposed to like clearing it. She's just adding to it. So. Oh my God. Oh, Mary, Mary, Mary.
Oh, Mary, Mary, Mary. that is going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode talking about Potomac and Below Deck Mediterranean. So don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show so you don't miss that or any of our episodes. And just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Betches.